Hello, our wonderful patrons. Thank you for all of your lovely support.
I'm David.
I'm Jordan.
This episode, we're talking about monsters, and we are joined by our guest today, Tekking.
Whoa!
Hello!
Tekking, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's always exciting to have a guest return. Those listening that may not have heard the episode that you were on, you might tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
I'm Tekking 101. I've been doing YouTube for about 14 years now, so I'm one of the older members. I'm the older generation here.
Oh, my.
Oh, gee.
Yes, you're the younger generation carrying the torch. I appreciate that. And I talk about One Piece mainly on the channel. I have a separate channel where I talk about Bleach because that's back now. And I'm doing a little bit of Twitch now. I started getting back into Twitch.
Oh, what are you doing on Twitch?
I play Yu-Gi-Oh! With my friend Briggs, Briggs ADA, and so every week we do a progression series episode of that, and it's also where I do on Rustage's channel, like the One Piece D&D and Isekai D&Ds.
I need to check out your One Piece, because, like, not to keep this on the down low, but people were actually, like, not even aware that you, like, were a guest on the show talking about how great the One Piece podcast you did was, so I really need to go listen to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
Do you mind telling the audience, like, what were you playing in the One Piece podcast? Because I think it ended recently, relatively speaking.
Yeah, so One Piece, the One Piece D&D, so there's two versions of it. There's like season one and two. So One Piece D&D, we were all pirates, and then One Piece D&D Marines is what we're playing now. We're Marines. So in D&D, we were pirates. We're the Devil's Luck Pirates. I was the captain, William. And we did a popularity poll once where Rustage was asking, like, who's your favorite character and your least favorite character? And William won number one in both of them.
That feels like a very Chainsaw Man popularity poll energy.
Yeah,
it was just like a straw poll thing, I think. But like, yeah, that gives you a basic idea. He was a rogue, but I never played him right as a fucking rogue. So his crazy thing was he had a devil fruit. It was the roulette Nomi, and he could get any devil fruit if I activated it. He just like rolled on a giant list of like 500 devil fruits. And so
that
was the fun thing about the character. Just like every episode, just like roll the fruit, and just like a new one every single time.
That sounds pretty awesome.
60 episodes, so if you want to get caught up, go check out Rustage's second YouTube channel. They're all up on there, and then we just finished episode like 10 or so of D&D Marines, where I play a very different character named Kai.
Yeah. Nice.
I love it. I'm starting a new D&D where I'm playing a character called Bob Moss, who is a creation bard, and essentially I'm trying to make him into like a Looney Tunes character.
Oh, okay, so like, you know, a Toon Force Luffy. There we go.
He's a bard of creation, so instead of playing music, he's going to channel everything through drawing.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
I would love to play D&D again. I was in a campaign with David, and I just picked the worst character. I just made the worst guy.
The worst class, or just, like, you genuinely made a horrible character?
No, he wasn't a ranger.
Oh, okay.
I made a horrible character. Nito Bulger. He was like this disgusting turtle who was like...
He's a turtle. Oh,
he was a
cute
turtle, and he was like a homebrew character called a Puppet Master, which is a bad idea because I don't know D&D that well. So it was like a huge pain in the ass. Oh, God. I learned a lot doing that.
By the way, Ranger's not the best, I'm not the worst class, because I'm playing a Ranger right now in Marines. It's just, you have to do Ranger Revise to make it work.
Yeah.
Player's Handbook default Ranger was pretty
bad. Horrible, although I like doing that kind of stuff sometimes, because it's like, this is a challenge. This is a crappy
yes
class that no one plays. I want to play it.
It's like playing the Barbarian class, where they get a level of exhaustion when they rage.
Yeah, that's fun, because then you could like, all right, I got to be more careful how I do this.
Oh, man, maybe I know we have a friend of the show, Luke, who is also, he's super into that, and he keeps asking me to play D&D, so maybe we'll try and get a little Shonen Flop, get one off at some point if you're ever down for that.
I am down for that 100%. I always want to play D&D, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
He also actually runs a One Piece podcast, but we're getting off topic. Let's get into actually talking about this series. I'm sure this is not the only times we're going to be talking about One Piece, because Jordan, do you mind telling us a bit about the manga details?
All right, so this is Monsters. It was written by, I'm going to make this joke again, a little unknown guy named Eiichiro Oda. Under the author's other works, David just wrote Mao.
Yeah, LMAO, that's a very popular series Oda wrote. I think in 2001 he wrote that.
Yeah, actually, that went for 87 chapters, I believe.
Yeah, 89, actually, 89.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess nice 89, sure.
That's the next one. That's the new one.
I mean, he wrote One Piece. Like,
yeah.
If you don't know what One Piece is, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think One Piece is a flop. It might be the manga you could describe as the complete opposite of a flop.
It's a flip.
More so than like any manga. It's a flip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like everything's flopping, then One Piece just does a backflip.
And yeah, it just nails it perfectly.
Yeah, but this is not One Piece. This is Monsters, and it ran for one chapter that went for 45 pages, and it was published October 30th, 1994. So tomorrow, Mischief Night, by the way, is the anniversary of this manga. I guess the 29th anniversary.
Yeah, 29th anniversary. And a fun little side fact is Oda was only 19 when he wrote this.
Jeez.
God
so
damn.
Where were you at age 19?
Still trying to figure out my go-to Subway order.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel so worthless hearing that. Fuck.
Man, it's just, you can't let that take it down. I mean, there's people that are way more successful than everybody at like age. There was that one YouTuber that has like the successful channel at like age 5. So there's no point anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, here you are.
Yeah. Ugh. But like, anyway, why don't we get into the plot summary of this essentially one shot.
I love how when we cover one chapter, we say the page count instead of the chapter count for the series.
I mean, it's useful.
I mean, you know, what else are we supposed to do?
I mean, I'll tell you what, 45 pages for a one shot is even. I've seen one shots that are well over 100. So this is a nice quick little story. Yeah.
When Fujimoto wrote, like, Look Back, it was, like, 120 pages. Mm-hmm. There's, like, an armagaka that people think is his girlfriend, and she just tweeted in English, 120 pages, ? When it got released. All right, well, let's get into hearing what those 45 pages contains.
Ryuma is a wandering samurai crawling through the desert dying of thirst until he is found by Flair, a young girl who works at a tavern. She feeds him, putting the samurai in her debt despite her own protests. He's kind of just like, I am in your debt. She's like, yeah, don't worry about it. And he's like, no, I'm in your debt. I have to. My honor. And years ago, Flair was saved from her destroyed town by the noble swordsman. In the translation we were reading, it said Shirano, but Tekkink has revealed to us that on the wiki, the more official translation is Cyrano.
Yeah, it's in, like, there's a French nobleman by the name of, like, Cyrano de Bergerac or whatever, and I think that's the original source material for Oda base, because Oda does that.
That makes sense. You know, Captain Kidd was a historical guy.
Yeah, most of the pirates, Edward Lowe is Law. It's just, yeah.
I mean, you know, Blackbeard. But yeah, so I guess the pronunciation is Serrano. And anyway, Serrano saved her when a dragon attacked her town. Serrano was able to defeat the dragon, although, you know, as I said, she was the only survivor. He's currently at her tavern and is delighted to see her doing well. But unfortunately, his sheath touches Ryuma's, which...
Listen, man, it's not a duel unless sheaths are touching.
I think I imagined it like, you know, the sword is an extension of the person. And so that's the equivalent of just like, you know, like shoulder checking somebody at a bar. It's just like, hey, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, according to the male gaze, it is a phallic object.
Oh, it's extraordinarily phallic.
It's like the definition of a phallic object, actually.
Yeah, it is. Zoro has 3 phallic objects, one of which in his mouth. I mean, that's just. No.
Yeah. Zoro has 3 dicks. And
I think he has 4, Jordan.
Actually, he gulped a 9 at a time. Well, maybe 10 if you include the actual.
Oh, God. I'm imagining the hentai where he uses her and it triples his penis.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Because their sheaths touch, Ryuma's like, this means a duel to the death. Serrano just, like, spares him but defeats him. Despite this, Ryuma, in the process, slices a solid copper statue in half, which pretty hard to do.
I find it weird that they picked copper of all things, because that's an insanely soft metal compared to like all the. He cut solid copper. It's like, well, yeah, that's impressive, but like, there's harder metals.
Why didn't they just use iron?
Iron would have been better.
Yeah, it's literally a trope Oda uses later in One Piece.
I guess
right, but that was later, so I guess I understand why he didn't know that future. Yeah,
or steel rather, but yeah.
I guess the idea is that copper's softness is how it gets turned into statues.
Yeah.
It's like there aren't really that many steel statues, you know?
He sliced a solid adamantine statue that was in this bar. That was crazy.
How did they do that? How did they make a statue out of vibranium? Yeah.
Jordan, you missed your perfect opportunity. How did that happen?
Oh, yo-ho-ho, he took a bite of gum-gum.
We actually have a guy who works in metallurgy that is a patron, so I'd be really excited to hear his thoughts on this topic. We covered a series called Metallica Metallica, which was all about metals, and he actually sent us like a write-up about like what factual inaccuracies they
had.
That's
awesome.
Which was really cool. So if he sends us any details like that, I'll pass them along.
That's also one of the worst manga we've ever read, by the way.
Oh, wow. That's the worst. Okay, shit. But all I could say is I've seen a lot of strength feats in manga that are like, oh my god, he sliced solid iron. He cut a boat in half. This is the only time I've seen a feat measured in slicing a copper statue.
Yeah.
Popcorn David.
Ryuma speaks to one of the bartenders who recounts the story of how Serrano, is that it?
Serrano. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
How Serrano defeated the dragon and saved Flair, saying that Serrano must be second only to the great swordsman King. Ryuma says he wants to fight the king one day, but doesn't know what he looks like. Ryuma leaves when a shitty swordsman named DR knocks sheaves with him and gets ready for a challenge, only for DR to pretend to have been stabbed by him. That gets the town folks' attention, who see DR pull out a dragon's horn, which can be used to control and summon dragons, which he does before breaking it. The townsfolk freak out.
Interestingly, they imply that he has to blow the horn, but like I looked closely, I did not...
They don't show him doing that.
I was so confused by that. Yeah.
Very confusing.
That's a recurring issue, is there's like, he just tried to skip panels, but it wasn't like in like a cool implied way. It was like, I don't know what happened kind of way.
Yeah. And it's like, also after that scene, DR just like disappears and the townsfolk are just angry at Ryuma. And I had to go back and look at it. And there's just the one panel where he falls down, like he's pretending to be dead. But I'm like, I it was just kind of small. And in the background, I had to like notice.
Yeah, I got really sad because there's actually a really weird continuity issue in what is considered like what's probably the like Oda's definitely favorite page in this manga, which we'll get into later.
Mm-hmm.
The townsfolk freak out, blaming Ryuma and evacuating, except for Serrano, Ryuma, and Flair, who refuse to leave for Serrano's sake. Popcorn teching.
Flair is furious at Ryuma until she spots Serrano looking around the town with DR. He does the bad guy thing where he loudly describes how he caused the dragon massacre years ago and actually directly stabbed Flair's parents. He only saved her for clout.
It's so great because he's just talking to DR and for no reason he's just like, ha ha, remember years ago when we did this horrible crime? Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Hello there, my accomplice in crime, DR. Do you remember when we burned that lady's village down with a dragon 7 years ago?
As you know, this happened. Thank God nobody's listening to this. That would be really bad.
It would have been great if DR was like, yeah, I fucking was there. Yes, I remember that. Yeah. Why are you talking about it again?
It's so weird to me because, like, Serrano is established as an amazing swordsman. Why does he have to be, like, the duplicitous, like, snidely whiplash, like, kind of like, I'm evil, I will rob a town.
He's literally like, I love being the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, hey, man, if that's what gets him off, that's what he is, okay? Ryuma hops in and defeats Serrano in a sword duel, but DR reveals that while the previous horn was fake, he does in fact have the real one, and he blows it, summoning the dragon for realsies this time.
Yeah.
This is the whole reason why Oda wanted to draw this. If you read the interview he did, he had an image in his head like, I want to draw a fucking samurai decapitating a dragon midair in a double page spread. Everything else is tertiary to that, all right?
Yeah, which explains everything about this series.
It makes great for a one shot, right? Like, you know, I'm just going to build a story about a guy cutting up a dragon. That's all I care about, you know?
It's a great, like, way to decide what manga you're writing, though. It's just like, fuck, I don't know. Oh, man, it would be cool to have a samurai cut the head off a dragon. And then the motherfucker, the mad lad, just made the manga.
Dude, what if that's how One Piece started? Like, Oda's just sitting around like, I want to draw this really cool treasure. And then all of other One Piece is just the ancillary components to getting to that scene.
Didn't he say he knows what the ending is?
Yes, he 100% knows what the end. Oh, God, can you imagine? He's just like, he's sitting there at his desk right now. Like, I don't know how I'm going to fucking end this. Like, I don't know. I put it off for so long.
And then speaking of ending this, do you mind wrapping up that story? We're having a great time, but I want to make sure we actually get through it.
Ryuma just slices its head off and leaves town. The people return. Bartender suddenly remembers that the King of Swordsman's name is Ryuma, and the title of king was given him by the people he saved, and he left, and so he probably has no idea what it was him.
He completely just forgot.
Everybody calls him king, but he doesn't know. Yeah, yeah.
He just forgot the king's name is Ryuma. He just didn't remember until conveniently this moment.
You're like, oh, that's weird that there's two swordsmen. One's really famous and powerful, and then there's this other really powerful swordsman that both have the same name. No way, they can't be related.
Oda drew this just because he wanted to draw a guy cutting up a dragon. So let's not pay too much attention to, you know, the plot details.
So though, Tekken, do you mind telling us about Ryuma?
Yes, Ryuma. Okay, so yes, he is the canon Ryuma from One Piece. That was confirmed. He's the same dude we see in Thriller Bark as a zombie. He has Brook's shadow. And then later on, you see flashbacks of him in Wano itself. Very honorable guy, takes his sword seriously. Actually, the Swordsman King, but doesn't know it.
I like Ryuma in this. He's kind of brash. It's like he's very much like he's got a code, like he's got his own Bushido where he's like, nah, this is what the rules say. This is like a Pokemon trainer battle. Our eyes met, except here our sheaths touch. So we must fight.
You hear that clack when you walk by somebody? It's like, oh, it's go time now.
It's on.
Such a strange cultural identity, and it is interesting that was something that's like so precise in this that Oda never carried over to One Piece.
Yeah, and also it's like I imagine, Ryuma is canon, and I guess the plot, because he did canonically cut up a dragon in One Piece. I think Oda's gonna change that around because they're in like an old west kind of town in this, and it's like that doesn't look like Wano, you know, unless Ryuma traveled the world or something.
He's definitely not in Wano.
He lived in Wano his whole life because he cut the dragon up in Wano. So, yeah.
Oh, did he?
It was canonical that he saved Wano from a dragon. I thought it was 400 years ago. I think that's just the Mandela effect because I don't remember where I got that number. But it was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably like an alternate universe Ryuma who's just, if he shows him, it's just like, yeah, that's the same character, different setting, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, same character, different setting. He doesn't have Shusui in this. He doesn't have the black sword. You know, it's a different sword in this.
Yeah.
But I mean, you understand. I think Oda just went back and was just like, I really like drawing Ryuma. I'm just going, and he looks just like Zoro. I mean, he's a prototype Zoro. So he's like, I'm just going to make him Zoro's distant ancestor, which he is.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that was like one thing I really wanted to talk with you about is like how this actually fits into One Piece continuity. But yeah, and then speaking of prototype characters, I think Serrano, kind of besides the whole being a fake, he also feels like a proto Mihawk.
He's proto Mihawk 100%.
Yeah.
Oda took the idea of like Swash, it was a French swordsman or French nobleman here, but like he's a Spanish swordsman in One Piece. But yeah, I mean, it's the same basic design.
Also, holy shit. Also, gotta say, Mihawk definitely has the best casting of all of the live action.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
That is insane. Like, how the fuck did they find that guy? Anyway, do you guys have anything else? So he's a thief, his sidekick is DR. There's not much to him.
Comically evil. Like, just like a big piece of shit. Like, he saved Flair for clout, essentially.
And he killed the other guy. Because he's like, ah, it's not worth the hassle of saving two people.
Let me ask you, though, if you were gonna be evil, comically evil seems like a fun way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, it seems fun. Yeah.
It's also you don't have that much time. So it's like you gotta like get in and get out for establishing who's bad or good in like 45 pages.
Yeah. Also, by the way, I had a question like, could they control the dragon with the horn? Because the dragon like nuked the village but didn't attack them. And it's like, OK, I guess they could control it.
That was one of the things I wanted to talk about and why I feel is they don't actually show the dragon interacting with the horn. Like, there's no thing of, like, a dragon sleeping and waking up and, like, flying after it hears it. There's just nothing. They just, it shows up.
Yeah, we need, it's a MacGuffin to get the dragon there so Ryuma can decapitate it. That's the whole point, yeah.
The whole point of this manga is to have Ryuma decapitate the dragon, after all.
Yes.
Yeah. When Ryuma's not decapitating a dragon, everyone should be asking, why isn't Ryuma decapitating a dragon right now?
People should be asking, why isn't Ryuma decapitating a dragon?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so Jordan, though, do you want to tell us about Flair, the last character of note of the series?
I feel like she's the prototype for that one female bartender in Romance Dawn.
Makino?
Yeah.
I could see that a little bit, yeah. She's definitely more like Makino than Nami.
I thought that she's a little bit in terms of Nami's personality.
Yeah, Oda played around with Nami's personality. I mean, because like Romance Dawn version 1 and 2 both have Silk and Anne, who are just prototype Namis. And I think this is like a proto, like alpha Nami, you know, like alpha mode Nami or something. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, she's like not much to her, honestly.
No, there's not much to any of these characters.
Not really much to any of these characters.
That's a good negative. So why don't we get into why it failed? So Tekken, what would you say is something that we haven't brought up yet that you didn't like about this series?
It's kind of hard to judge it harshly like I didn't like the series because it's not really a series. You know, when you look at it in the context of like Oda just had a cool idea and he went with it, I would say, yeah, the plot seems very like just scrapped together. Like Oda was like, oh, OK, how does a dragon get there? A horn. OK, well, who blows the horn? This guy who's a bad swordsman dude. It's like, OK, even Ryuma's, I mean, his character is cool, but there's just so little you can really do with him in the amount of pages you have. have. So at the end of the day, he kind of comes off a little bit like a Saitama kind of character, where it's like he's kind of like, eh, but he's super powerful. If he had a whole series about him, it would be a different story. But like, you know what I mean?
It is interesting, like, how Serrano defeats him the first time.
Yeah.
It's like Serrano technically defeated the King of Swordsmen the first time. And then it's almost like Ryuma's like, yeah, I wasn't serious last time.
It's weird because he was like, oh, you, he's the one that started the confrontation. He's like, you touched my scabbard. I'm going to fight you. He cuts a statue. And then Serrano just kind of like holds the sword at his throat. He's like, you lose. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. It is to establish that Serrano's strong, but it does kind of make the King of Swordsmen reveal feel a little bit weaker.
I honestly thought that was really stupid, and I really was like, oh, that's a cool how Oda's seeding little fun details in the plot that aren't necessary, because that's like what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's all wrapped in a bow. I'm like, it would have been more interesting if they hadn't made that the twist.
Yeah.
You're like, it just gives you something to think about where the series could have gone.
Yeah, you could have done something like Serrano was a good noble guy and he's a strong swordsman. And you could have had a whole thing where he was talking to Ryuma about being a swordsman. Then the dragon shows up and then kills Serrano, and then Ryuma has to kill the dragon.
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing, honestly, especially because Serrano just becomes a very one-note sort of villain that it's like, oh, he's a bad guy who pretended to be a good guy. And it's like, that was kind of the most predictable way this manga could have ended.
I'm evil.
Oh, man. Turns out he's evil.
Yeah, I also want to say, unrelated to anything we talked about so far, I just want to say the paneling felt very plain besides like that splash page, because it was just squares, all functional paneling, which is just boring.
Yeah.
I noticed a little of Oda's style in it, but it was for the most part just very plain. Yeah.
Oh, this was definitely Oda. This was definitely like early Oda. Like I actually read, I got confused and read Wanted, like the first manga that the whole thing is named after. By the way, a lot less miserable to read than the American comic Wanted, which is like the most off-putting comic I have ever read. Like I read the whole thing and I was just like, this made me feel real bad.
I saw the Angelina Jolie movie Wanted. That was a thing.
That completely different.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting off track.
I wanted to bring up the continuity error where if you see in the big panel splash, he's coming from the front of the dragon, but somehow cuts it from the side. So there's like actually kind of like a weird continuity issue of that two-page spread.
That's not a continuity error. Ryuma's just that good of a teleporting swordsman.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
He can change direction. He does like a double jump. He's able to do that.
What's the name of that piece in One Piece where you can double jump?
Geppo. He could Geppo in the air. He could teleport. He's Ryuma. He's the sword god. He could do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He's mastered one of the six powers.
He has the most powerful warrior soul, David.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of little continuity errors throughout here. I mean, we mentioned Flair doesn't really have that deep of a character. She's not super interesting.
Yeah, I was saved from a town and my parents died. I'm like, and I hate dragons. Like, okay, I mean, you could do something with that if it was a longer series. It's just there's nothing, you know.
I do want to say Oda in One Piece is very good at very quickly giving a character a quirk. You immediately understand the little strange little thing about this character when they show up. They do something silly and it's like, okay, I get what this character's like. And he did not have that ability when he wrote this one shot. It's pretty clear.
No.
Yeah, like it would have been cool if Ryuma completely had invented that sword touching thing and everyone thinks he's just crazy.
That would be great. Yeah.
That's like a quintessential Oda quirk.
I mean, this is also like he's 19 at this point and he's trying to get well known in the industry. And so it's like, I can understand, like, this is a learning experience. It's just like, oh, okay. Yeah. He figured out his style eventually. You can see little prototypes of it here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a really great point of how there's still some really good things. So let's talk about what it did well. I think the art is really nice. I do actually think that sometimes when they skip things, it did make sense. Like, for instance, they actually don't show him killing BR. You later see BR's corpse on the ground. And I think that was actually how skipping events can be effective, where you didn't need to see him cut it down. You just knew he was going to do that.
And Oda does utilize that a lot later in One Piece, where a lot of stuff will just be like, yeah, this happened off screen, but it's not that big of a, like, it's more powerful because it happened that way.
Exactly.
As rudimentary as this is, it flowed pretty quickly, you know? It flowed nicely. You know, we've read a lot of manga on here where it's just a fucking slog. And this did not have that problem at all. It's 45 pages. You get through it pretty quickly. The visual storytelling is pretty good, except for, like, some errors and, like, some confusing moments. But, like, it's pretty quick. It goes at a good pace.
Yeah. This is the series where you read where you're like, this guy's going to make something really big. You can tell that, like, he's learned a lot from making this.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's also funny, I'm stupid and I forgot to write down, but there are definitely like very quintessential One Piece humor in this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I said, like that's what I mean by like the prototype idea. Like his humor definitely shines through this.
Yeah, it's very interesting to read this, you know, because you see Oda shine through. Like, all of this art, it's a little sparse, but, like, you see how, oh, a few years later, this guy could totally make One Piece. You could see it right there. Like, yeah, that is One Piece art.
Because we've read series before Tekken where we're like, this guy made that. Like, for instance, are you familiar with, like, Kaiju number 8?
Yeah, I've read, like, the first 2-3 volumes of it, yeah.
So, like, that guy, his series before that was called Nikawappa, which is kind of like a Dragon Ball-inspired series, and it was, like, a gag manga that was... And it's, like, you're, like, he made that? Or it's, like, we read Instant Bullet to Love is War, or the guy who made Spy Family made this super serious series about assassins, which was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It is cool to know that there is so much Oda DNA in this series.
Absolutely. And that's, like, I understand why a lot of manga could do that, because it's, like, there's a marketing aspect for Shonen Jump where it's, like, you should try to make something that we know we can profit off of. So, like, Dragon Ball is profitable. Let's do that. Serious assassin manga is profitable. But you have to, like, do it in your own style in a way, so it's a little bit of stress in that. You know, like, make something different, but make it kind of similar to stuff that we know will make money.
Exactly. Oh man. And then on the topic of adjusting things, why don't we get into where it could have gotten really talk about how we would have revised this using more of Oda's modern style.
Yeah.
So Jordan, what would you say is like kind of the things you would have tweaked about this?
Either make the idea of who the King of Swords is a little more ambiguous, or make it, like maybe Ryuma knows and it's like a secret thing he doesn't want to reveal, kind of. Because it does just seem like a weak reveal, especially because the guy's just like, oh yeah, I forgot the King of Swordsman's name is Ryuma. That's crazy. Whoops.
It's silly. And yeah, I think it's just they needed to better convey. This is, we were in our latest chibi, we talked about chibis that are first chapters that don't need all their pages. This probably could have added in our 15 pages. To give breathing room to everything, because there's franticness and there's implied, and Oda clearly hadn't mastered what you can and can't off screen.
I feel like with Serrano especially, like you didn't need to make him a villain at all. You could have you could have still had Flair's tragic backstory. Make the dragons more of like they're kind of like apocalypse level events, but like people could kind of control them with these horns, so that kind of like diminishes their power a little bit if they could just be controlled that easily. So you could have had Serrano fight the dragon and he's like an actual noble swordsman, like I will save the townsfolk, and then he just gets nuked, he gets burned, and then Ryuma has to step up and slice him down. You know, there you go.
Or even just, like, change how he reveals everything. Like, maybe Flair sees him stealing shit and approaches him, and then he's like, huh. And then that's when he reveals to Flair, like, oh, yeah, you know, I actually did do all this shit. Instead of just, like, her hearing him cackle with DR, telling DR all this shit that he already knew. Like, oh, man, remember? This is just like when we burned that town down. That was so cool.
Yeah, it could have been like he got kicked out of town and like because of the stabbing, and then he later is like camping out and he overhears them talking about like their game plan of summoning the dragon and all that stuff. And then it's like that's why they re-explain it. It's like, what are we doing? It's like it's just like last time where it's like 7 years ago, remember how we did that? And it's not like him like, let me for no reason retell you the plan.
This is a really overly complicated plan, too. It's like every couple of years, we're going to summon a dragon just so we can rob a town. It's like, I think there's better ways to make money. You're a really good swordsman, but okay.
Right. He's already, like a really good swordsman and legitimately a good swordsman. Like, it would have also been interesting if he was a really shitty swordsman, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, no, it's like he's a really good swordsman. He doesn't need this additional shit to make money. Like, maybe that was initially how he gained his fame. But like he doesn't need to do it again.
It would be like if Mihawk like went to the Baratier and he's like, I'm gonna rob the cash register because I need money. It's like, you're Mihawk, what?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, this I also want to say this whole like Khan feels like a quintessential villain idea from like an East Blue One Piece villain.
Definitely.
You're like, the dragon attacks us every 7 years, and Luffy's like, I got this.
Yeah, Luffy just punches it. I got this, guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like in One Punch Man where it's like some heroes were trying to stop people from summoning like an evil god and
yeah, that was the last chapter. That was great.
And they just he's like, all right, let's just summon it so I can just permanently kill this god.
Let's get the Dragon Ball, summon it, so he just I can punch it out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, come on. And that was fucking that's perfect. And then yeah, let's go into miscellaneous thoughts. How's that sound?
Yeah.
I want to say these designs, like BR definitely feels like I feel like he would have fit in really well if Baroque works. I don't know why. I just feel like that's the vibe he would have had if he was a One Piece character.
Ironically enough, he's actually canon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you see his wanted posters in some of the movies and in the background of anime fillers. Like, yeah, he has a bounty of 1.8 million, which is, yeah.
Yeah, that makes
pretty
sense.
Good.
Well, actually, if you adjust for inflation, if this was like 200 years ago.
I did. I don't know why I did this, but just because I like to do like things like this. I took it from berries to yen because that's like that's what Oda's going for. And then to dollars, and DR has a bounty of like $13,000. It's like, wow,
that sounds
pretty,
about right, though.
It's pretty impressive for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Specifically identifies him as a shitty swordsman, too.
He's a third-rate swordsman with a fourth-rate katana.
Yeah, and a fifth-rate bounty. I also want to say Flair clearly has Conqueror's Haki.
Yeah.
When she makes the whole bar kneel when she gets really upset.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oda does it again.
She has dragon powers. That's something you could have done. I mean, like, I don't know. She was burned by dragon fire, and now she can use it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, what if she was a dragon this whole time?
What?
Make it more interesting that she was the one who survived instead of just him being like, I don't know, I just saved this random girl and killed her parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it would have been cool if she was part dragon and that's how she survived.
Oh, I have a good one. What if Serrano, like, let's say Serrano was a better character and he's like, I saved this girl and I am now her guardian because she has the dragon soul in her. And then Serrano dies and then Ryuma has to be her new, like, protector or whatever. Like, that would be a cool way to take it. Yeah.
I would read that.
Also, like, basically unrelated, but I think Serrano is the name of a Spanish artist who made Piss Christ, which is...
Piss Christ, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know chestnut. That.
It is a photo of, like, a crucifix with Jesus on it, submerged in piss. And that's the photo.
I don't know how to process that. But anyway,
Very famous.
Let's go to Final Verdict. How's that sound?
Let's go for it. Yep.
So let's get into our 6-word summaries. I'll start mine. Mine is just, how is this canon to One Piece? There's so many things that this doesn't actually fit into One Piece continuity.
Ryuma?
There you
no
go.
No way!
Jordan, what's your 6-word summary?
Just wanted to kill a dragon.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Emphasis on wanted.
Ah! I get it.
How about you, Taki?
Powerful full-page spread, but weak plot.
I love it. And then do you guys think this is a flop or not?
For what it was, I think this is perfect. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think this is pretty good. I mean, it was like a one-shot, but like, yeah, if this was like the pilot for a longer manga...
Would you guys have read in our 10 chapters of this based on this first chapter?
Yeah, I would have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If it would have continued the story for 10 chapters, I would have read that easily.
I was kind of disappointed it just ended.
Fair enough. All right. I'm kind of in between, but I guess you guys convinced me, so I'll say sure.
Yeah.
All right. And then that's really all that we got to talk about for this bad boy.
There's an anime adaptation coming out. We don't know when, but
really?
It is happening.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
It'll actually be cool to see what reworking based on our, like, how close our ideas are fixing, or not fixing, but, you know, like, revising this versus that. Because I wonder if the anime will actually be what canon want, or what canon monsters should be.
Oh, that is it. Oh, like, if Oda's going to rewrite it based on Wano, maybe? I'm thinking it's just going to be an adaptation of this. Yeah.
I would love to, like, you know how One Piece, like, the anime is now, like, one episode per chapter?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
It would be funny if it was, like, one episode per page.
They could probably make that work, yeah.
God.
And they just drag everything out as long as possible.
Dude, like, with the last episode with, like, Green Bull and stuff, I thought, man, you could have drawn that out to 4 episodes if you really wanted to. You know? Like,
yeah. I don't even know how to process this. Let's get in the sign-offs. Oh my goodness, Techie, it is always an absolute blast. I can't believe how fast an hour of recording went. Do you mind telling the audience where they can find all of the awesome stuff you do?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube, Techie101. I'm on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling that now. And I'm on Twitch now. Also, Techie101. Just type in Techie101. That'll take you away to where it needs to be. Also, my Bleach channel is called Bongcast. So you can
I love it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's not to be confused with Jordan's channel where he reviews bongs called Bongcast.
Bongcast. That's a clever one. If I ever did a One Piece one, it would be called Conversation Haki.
I love it.
Oh, I love that.
Not my idea. A fan came up with that one, but I love that idea.
So Luke, as I mentioned, he has a One Piece Simpsons mashup called Domance Dawn where he recasts One Piece.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, he recasts One Piece characters with Simpsons characters.
You ever see Bart Kira?
Yes, I did. And there was also another Halloween episode years ago where they adapted, like, Zorro was Homer. It was great.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I think I saved that one. It's like, yeah, I'll see if I can pull it up. But
that's dope. But yeah, so we were talking about what you would mix with Family Guy, and I think we came up with Naruto, we came with Naruto, and I was thinking we'd call it, I can't freaking believe it.
I love that. Let's go with that.
That's really good.
All right. Well, we're gonna film a pilot. Film a one episode pilot.
I can't
of that.
Freaking believe it.
Well, I just need to get Luke's permission. Get Luke's permission to steal his show format. But yeah, and then just fuck. This was so much fun, Tekken. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
Jordan, I just want to say thank you for being a great co-host and help and all the awesome stuff you do on the show.
Oh, David, thank you so much. You also do a lot of hard work on this show, and I really appreciate it. You know that?
Oh, no problem. I also want to give props to Illuminati for the awesome cover art. And Jordan, anything you want to toss in?
Yeah, check out Mission Ignition, a podcast where me and some friends watch a TV show called Vampires from the 90s that only I seem to remember.
I remember it.
Mm-hmm. Really? With the car abominations?
With a bad CG. That and Reboot.
Reboot was an actually good show.
I fucking loved Reboot.
That was great.
No, Vampires is so bad.
Oh, God. All right. But that's all the time we have for today. So I want to say also thank you to all of our awesome patrons. Bye.
Bye.
Later, everybody.